Welcome to GemaraMarkings.com. If this is your first time visiting the site, we highly recommend utilizing the two links found in the yellow box at the top of the page. Enjoy your shear.
Today's shiur will be beginning at the very bottom of Kuf Yud Tes on the days in Maseches Bava Basra. We're in the middle of descriptions concerning the Benois Tzlofchot. The last point that was discussed by the Gemara is the fact that they got married at an age where normally, according to Rav Chisda, a woman would no longer be able to bear children. We describe the Benois Tzlofchot as being tzidkonios, being righteous women, and in order to resolve that description with the fact that they got married at such a late age for childbearing doesn't exactly jive. So in order to resolve that, the Gemara said that since they were righteous, a nace was performed for them. The Rashbam also explained that they were confident that as a result of their righteousness, a nace would be performed. As a side point, one might be familiar with the concept of Ein Soimchen Al HaNace, that one should not rely upon a nace. However, there's another level of righteousness, if you will, whereby a person, because of his intense relationship with God, comes to the realization that there is no real difference between nature and miracle. Everything is under his control. And when one achieves that level of clarity, as is illustrated by several personalities in the Shas, one of the more famous ones was Rabbi Hanina ben Doisa. At a stage like that, when nace, when miracle and nature roll into one, then one isn't said to be in violation of the principle of Ein Soimchen Al HaNace, because for that type of person, nace, miracle, and nature have actually become one. As we begin the Gemara, we notice a bracketed section. The bracketed section extends till Kuf Chof Amud Aleph. The reason for these brackets is described on the inside margin. There's an asterisk. We attempt in our marking system, our pre-mark Gemaras, to provide an explanation for brackets when they appear. In the inside margin, we've written Acharei HaSograyim, HaGemora Choyzeres LeInyan Benois Tzlofchot. After the parenthesis, after this bracketed section, the Gemara will continue or return to the topic of the Benois Tzlofchot. B'toch HaSograyim, HaGemora Marchivo BeInyan Yoychevet VeHaNeis Shehi Holida BeGil Mitkadem. The Gemara will elaborate on Yoychevet, who got married at a who bore children at a late age. And her bearing of children at her late age was also considered parallel to the Benois Tzlofchot and their ability to bear children at a late age, even though their ages were different. Nevertheless, the intervention of miracle is a common point. In the outside margin, we also have as our topic heading, No say besograyim, meaning the topic that will be found in the bracketed section is Neis shel Yochevet sheyolda begil mitkadem, the miracle enabling Yochevet, the mother of Moshe Rabbeinu, Aaron and Miriam as well, to bear children at a late age. So, with that having been said, we're going to read the Gemara straight, being aware that after the bracketed section, the topic of Benois Tzlofchot will reappear. in order to see the length of a bracketed section, instead of having to search for the closing of the bracket, notice the dashed vertical line that appears in the space between the Gemara and the Rabbeinu Gershom, and just follow it onto the next omit at the same side of the page, and you will see that when that dashed dotted line ceases, it will be at the line that the bracketed section ends. As we go on in the Gemara, we're going to notice an internal bracket, and we'll discuss that when we get to it. So the Gemara says, after having said that since they, the Benos Sofer, were Tzidkonios, a nes was done for them, the Gemara says, Kiyochefet, just like a predecessor of theirs, namely Yochevet, who was older than they were, came before them, Dichtiv, Vayelech Ish mi Beis Levi, Vayikach Es Bas Levi. There came forth a man from the household of Levi, from the descendants of Levi. This is referring to Amram, the father of Moshe, and he took for him the Bas Levi, the daughter of Levi. The choice of the word Bas, the Gemara feels, is a sign of youth. So the Gemara asks, Efshar Bas Meo Shloshim Shona, could it be that she, Yochevet, was 130 years old, Vekora Lo Bas, and the Torah uses the expression Bas in reference to her? We notice now a bracketed section. It's a different shape bracket to distinguish it from the outside brackets. These are designed for skipping, and the reason for the skipping is in order to ease the flow of the reading. Let us try to demonstrate that immediately. We just said that, could it be that she was 130 years old and the Torah would use the word Bas in reference to her? Skipping, V'amai Koru Lo Bas, so why was she referred to by that? Omer of Yudah Bar Zavida Melamik Shenoldu Bas Simone Narus. The Torah is telling us that she became youthful in a physical way. We'll go over this in a moment. What we try to do just now is demonstrate the use of brackets in a skipping sense, and we utilize the note on the inside margin which indicates that those brackets, you notice the asterisk note, sograyim, and we included the shape of them in the parentheses, L'shem dilug, they are designed for skipping, L'hokel al retzef hakriya, in order to ease the flow, the continuity of the idea. The Gemara posed a question, why was she called Bas? And immediately after the brackets, we answer that question. By the way, we've also provided a length indicator for these brackets. In the space between the Gemara and the Tosfos, you notice a series of vertical dots. This indicates the length of the internal bracketed section. We also attempt to distinguish length markings in order to show the difference between the two forms of brackets. Let us reread the Gemara in a continuous form. From the top, the Gemara had raised the question, could it be that she's 130 years old and she's referred to as Bas? The Gemara in these internal brackets will be discussing the point that she was 130 years. How do we know she was that old when this pasuk was referred to? The pasuk, namely, of Vayelech Ish mi Beis Levi, Vayikach es Bas Levi. Di Omar Rav Chamo Bar Chanina. Zu Yochevet. Shehoirosa Baderech Venolda Ben Achoimois. The term Zu Yochevet is a bit out of context because the reference here to Rav Chama Bar Chanina is a Gemara that appears later in the Perek. The Gemara there, and the Rashbam reports this, the Gemara there deals with the inconsistency in census numbers where on the one hand it seems that the Jews coming to Mitzrayim with Yaakov Avinu's family numbered 70, but when you count them on a one-by-one basis, individual basis, it's 69. So regarding that, Rav Chama responds, oh, the missing one? Zu Yocheved. That's what the Gemara said here on the second line. The missing one is Yocheved, in that she was conceived on the way to Mitzrayim, so she wasn't actually born, hence the reference to the 69 people that came to Mitzrayim. And she was born, Beina Chomos means her birth was in Mitzrayim. Dichtiv, the Pasuk says, Asher Yolda Oysa Lelevi B'Mitzrayim. She was born to Levi. Her father was Levi, the son of Yaakov Avinu. Leidosa B'Mitzrayim, V'Hoirosa Shalai B'Mitzrayim. And the diuk, or the inference drawn from the emphasis on the word Yolda, is that she was born in Mitzrayim, but not conceived there. So the Gemara continues, V'amai koru lo'bas. This was actually what the Gemara was bothered by at the top line. Why, if she was 130 years old when the pasuk of Vayelech Ishmi Beis Levi Vayikachas Beis Levi, which is describing the birth of Moshe, at the birth of Moshe she was approximately 130 years old, why was she referred to by the term Bas? Omar Rav Yehuda Bar Zvida Melamed Shenoldu Bo Simone Narus. The Torah is telling us that this old woman developed physical signs of youth. Nisadein Habosar Nispashtu Hakmotim. Nisadein Habosar, her flesh became tender, youthful, and her wrinkles straightened out. If you prefer, you can use the expression, they decreased. The Chozer Hayoifi Limakoimoi, and her beauty was restored. The Gemara asks, why does the Torah use the word Vayikach in the Pasuk when describing Amram taking Yocheved when he was already married to her? The term Vayikach implies that he's taking her for the first time. So the Gemara asks, Vayikach, Vayachzor, Miboyele. It should have said that he returned her. The background to this is the fact that after Aaron and Miriam were born, or more accurately, after Miriam and Aaron were born, Miriam being older, and Paro issued the gzera of Kol HaBen HaYilod HaYo'iro Tashlichu, that any male children that would be born would be thrown into the Ya'or, into the body of water, Amram separated from his wife. He had two children that we know of, Miriam and Aaron, and then he separated from his wife. And then comes this pasuk that was Shmos Beis, the bottom of the previous omid, Vayelech Ish Mi Beis Levi, describing the birth of Moshe Rabbeinu. It should have said, instead of Vayikach as Bas Levi, it should have said he took her back after having separated from her. The Gemara answers, Omar Rav Yehuda Bar Zvida, Malamed She'osa Lo Maisa Lekuchin, that when he took her back, he made a type of marriage ceremony, that's Maisa Lekuchin, Hoshiva Ba'apirion, he sat her in a type of chariot, some type of arrangement, which is referred to by the Gemara by the term Apirion, and the Aaron Umiriam Mishurim Lefaneha, the children, their children were singing in front of her, Umalache Shoreis Oimrim, and the angels were saying, Eim Habonim Smecha. So the expression Vayikach indicates the type of joyous ceremony as would be characteristic of a new marriage. And hence the choice of that word as opposed to Vayachzor. Returning to the topic of the Benoy Slavchod, let us glance at the outside margin. We have a topic heading with a structural note. In the Gemara, we'll notice a Roman numeral 1 over here and a Roman numeral 2 a few lines later. The note says, Beis Gishois, two approaches, Biachas l'shinui seder shmoiseim shel Benoy Slavchod b'shnei mekoymos b'Toyra. The order of the names of the Benoy Slavchod changes when noticing two different places in the Torah that they are referenced. We've included those places right here, Bamidbar Chav Zayin, Posuk Aleph, when they, Kesha'omdu Lifnei Moshe Lish'ol She'losin, when they stood in front of Moshe to ask their question regarding inheritance, they're listed as we have here, these are their names, Machlo Noya Choglo Milko Tirzo. When you look at Bamidbar Lamed Vov, Posuk Lamed Aleph, which describes their getting married, you find Machlo, that's the same, the number one girl is in the same position. Then you have Tirza in the number two position, when in the Posuk before she was in the five position. Chogla Milka are in the same position. So far we see 1, 3, and 4 in the same position. Noya here is number 5, when in the previous Pasuk she was number 2. So, to put matters simply, 2 and 5 are switched around. The Gemara wants to know, why is that? The Gemara says, Lahalon monon hakosuv derech gdulason, v'kan derech chochmoson. The Gemara, in referring to the unasked question, provides the answer by saying that in one section they were listed off in terms of their gedulason, their age chronologically, and in the other section they're mentioned, they're listed off in order of their wisdom. Messiah Leila Rav Ami, this distinction between wisdom and chronology supports Rav Ami. Let us just review a particular point. Let's specify that when approaching Moshe Rabbeinu with the question, they're listed off in order of their wisdom. When dealing with their marriage, they're listed in chronological order. This supports Rav Ami's principle, Yomar Rav Ami, B'yeshiva haloch achar chochma. The Rashbam in the wide section under the Gemara says B'yeshiva, bein lidin, bein l'shar yeshiva shel Torah, whether it be in an issue of judgment or other conventions, gatherings concerning Torah, meshivin es hachochom namalo min azokein. Preeminence is given to the wise one more so than age. Uchad meforsh lekamei, as the Rashbam explains later, shehachocham muflog mikol chaverav b'chochma, shechocham hu ma'oid, aval b'shvil shu chocham me'at min hazokin ein mechabden oso. Yoiser min hazokin shu chocham ktsas. What the Rashbam just said is that later it will be noted that when we talk about giving preeminence to wisdom over age, that's provided that the wise individual is considerably wiser than the elder individual, who the elder individual himself is also chochom ktsas, is also considered wise, but not nearly as wise as the chochom muflag. However, the Rashbam explains later on, if the younger individual is not exceptionally wiser, then he is not necessarily going to get preeminence. However, b'mesiba, the Gemara continues, this is Rav Ami's point, that the mesiba halocha achar zikna, what's b'mesiba? The Rashbam says, shel mishte, v'adin l'nisuin, when it comes to a banquet or a marriage festivity. So when setting up the guests in positioning guests in order of importance, so their preference is given to age. Omar Ravashi. Ravashi points out that commenting on Rav Ami's principle that the yeshiva halocha achar chochma, he says that's v'hu de maflig b'chochma. That's provided that the chochem is considerably wiser than the elder individuals that are there. V'hu de maflig b'zikna, and when we said that we give preeminence to age in the case of mesiba, that's provided that the person is considerably older. What about situations when you don't have extremely wiser than or extremely older than? So for those details, we highly recommend studying the Rashbam in Dibur HaMasa V'hu D'Maflig B'Zikna to go through it very carefully. With our marked Gemaras, you'll notice it's broken down quite clearly, four categories. But for our purposes, we're going to continue in the Gemara itself. Tana Debe Rabbi Shmuel. We're now going to see a second approach to the different order in which the names of the Benos Slavchad appear in the two different places. Benos Slavchad Shkulois Hoyu. They were equal to one another, and hence we can't bring a support from this to Rav Ami, because they were equal. Shenemar Vatieno, that's from the Posuk, Havaya Achas Lekulon, they were all the same. As a result of them being Shkulos, being equal, the Rashbam points out, therefore, sometimes the one was put ahead of the other, and sometimes someone else was put ahead of the other in the Psukim. The Gemara continues. Amar of Yehuda, Amar Shmuel, Benoi Slavchad, Hutru Linose L'chol Ashvotim. These women who were inheritors of land, they were allowed, as opposed to the other girls who were what's called a Bas Yereshes Nachla, they, the Benoi Slavchad, were allowed to marry into other Shvotim, into other tribes. This is a sugya that we have seen in this perek a few dapim ago, which spoke about hasovas nachla, that a bas yoreshes nachla at the time of entrance to Eretz Yisrael was restricted in her marriage options. Namely, she was restricted to marry someone from her own shevet. This is as opposed to the benos slavchad, who were an exception. Shenemar, the posuk says, la toiv beinehem tieno lenashim. That they had a right to marry whomever they so desired. So what am I to do with the pasuk that says that they were to be unto a member of their father's tribe? The more answers, Eitzo toivo hesiona kosuv shelo yinosu elo lahogun lahen. This pasuk of achle mishpachas matavim is not a mitzvah unto them, it's not an instruction to them, but rather it's wise counsel that they should choose someone who's fitting for them, an Eitza Toiva. We saw in a previous Rashbam that the members of their family were in fact Hagun individuals, were in fact reputable and high quality people, and that's who they eventually married. Moisiv Rabbah. Rabbo raises a question, and you can see it's a long question from the long question marking at the left-hand side of the Gemara text. The kuf that's encircled with the vertical dashed line indicates that all of these lines are part of the question. We're going to see a brisa, that's the section that's in a frame. Then when you look at the end of the brisa, the Gemara picks up and says, Katoni mihas, it however says, Be'avois hu oimer v'chol bas yeresh es nachal. That's an excerpt from the brisa. And from that quote, we're going to raise a question. After we explain it, it's going to turn out to be a simple question. But from that quote, we're going to see, how is it that you can claim that the Benos Slavchod were allowed to marry all of the Shvatim? So we begin with the Brisa. Moisif Rabo Emor Alehem. This pasuk is a quote from the topic of Tuma in the realm of Kodshim. Tuma in the realm of Korbonis. The pasuk says, Emor Alehem, say unto them, Le'oison Ha'imdin Al Har Sinai, to the people that were receiving the Torah. L'doro sechem. It also says in the pasuk, future generations. Elu doros haboyim. So the halachas of Tumah v'kodshim are to be conveyed to those that are standing at Har Sinai and to those that will be in future generations. Im ne'emar avos, lamo ne'emar bonim. If the Torah addresses the avos, why is it necessary to specify the children as well? V'im ne'emar bonim, lama ne'emar avos. And if you say that this is a mitzvah given to the bonim, why is it necessary to specify the avos, the fathers? Mipnei shi'esh ba'avos. The reason for specifying each category, fathers and sons, is because you have in the you have aspects of one that you don't have in the other. And the fear is if I addressed only one group, if I would have specified these halachas only to one group, I would not know that they apply to the other group. The Brisa explains. With regard to halachas of inheritance, of nachla, it says, V'chol bas yoreshes nachla. That is a reference to daughters that are survivors of in a family where a father died and there were no sons. So she's the heiress. And as a result of that, the Torah says she should not marry someone from another shevet. That's the halacha of the Isur Hasovas Nachla. The Rashbam, in the lower section of the Gemara, says, V'chol bas v'chulei, li'yotzei Mitzrayim nemar, kidim forsh l'kamei, havoludur isaboyin leko Isur Hasovas Nachla. This mitzvah of restricting the girls, who's a yoreshes nachla, to marry within her shevet, is something that's one generational. It's not applicable to future generations. So we see that the initial generation, the first generation, had a mitzvah that future generations don't have. V'harbe mitzvos nitztavu bonim shelo nitztavu avos. Many mitzvahs. For example, all the mitzvahs of Eretz Yisrael. Those are called the mitzvahs hatluyos baretz. Hafroshes trumas hamaisras, halachas of shmita, vyovel. All these halachas that are totally, that are land-related halachas, were not commanded to the avos, to the generation receiving the Torah, but rather to their children. Notice how we've used, in the markings, we've used an underlining here to emphasize ba'avos u'omer and Nitztavu bonim, showing the two distinct categories. As a result of this phenomenon, that sometimes all of us have mitzvahs that the children don't have, and sometimes the children have mitzvahs that the others don't have, the Gemara, the Braisa continues and says, "Hom b'nei sheish b'avos shein b'bonim, v'yesh b'bonim ma shein b'avos." Since this is the case, what happens with regard to mitzvahs that you want to apply to avos and bonim? Therefore, hutzruch lomar avos, hutzruch loimar bonim. Therefore, it was necessary to specify avos and specify bonim as well. Kotoni mihas. We see, however, from this source, the avos who oimer v'chol bas yereshes nachlo. And it goes on in that pasuk to say, and it's been written in between the lines here, le'echod mimishpachas mata avir tia li'isha, that a bas yereshes nachlo is expected to marry someone from her father's family, from her father's shevet, her father's tribe. So how can you say that the benos tzlafchad, who were yoresh yorshos nachlo, they were heiresses of property, how is it that you could say that they were allowed to marry other shvatim? How could Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel above say what he did? This was Rabbo's question. Who moisiv lo v'hu mefarik lo? He raised the question and he also answers it. Lebar mibenois tzlafchad. This halacha applied to that generation, with the exception of the benois tzlafchad. And the basis for saying that is, in fact, the pasuk that Rav Yehuda bar Amar Shmuel quoted, which said, "Latoiv beineim tieno lenashim." Omar Mar, the avos Omer, v'chol bas yereshes nachla. We saw that in the source above, that the first generation, the avos, the first generation at the time of Matan Torah, were instructed that a bas yereshes nachlo is to marry into her own shevet. The avos in bebonim loy. That was a one generational halacha, not applying to the bonim. My mashma. How do you see from this pasuk that only that generation was being addressed? Omar Rova, Omar Kro, Zehadovar. That's what the pasuk says. Dovar ze lo yehe noheg ela bedor ze. That this matter will be applicable only to that generation. So that when this expression Zeh HaDover appears, it appears as a limiting teaching, a limiting device. This arouses a couple of questions. What do we do with the expression Zeh HaDover that appears in some other places? Let us glance at the structural note in the outside margin, the Mivneh. Notice the house form, Zeh HaDover, is encapsulated in this marking. Mashmois Zeh HaDover, the implication or the teaching that's conveyed by the term Zeh HaDover, Shemofia Bet, that appears in Beparshas Shchut Echutz. And secondly, Beparshas Haforas Nedorim. The expression appears in Parshas Shchut Echutz, is the Torah's prohibition on slaughtering korbanos outside the Mishkan, or outside the Beis HaMikdash. And the second topic is the issue of voiding vows, known as Haforas Nedorim. Before we go on, we're going to read what we've written in the margin, the psukim, Vayikra Perek Yud Zayin Posuk Beis, which deals with Shchut Echutz, the Isser of slaughtering korbanos outside the Beis HaMikdash or the Mishkan. Pasuk says, Daber el Aharon ve'el bonov ve'el kol b'nei Yisrael ve'omarto aleihem ze hadavar asher tzivo Hashem le'mor. We are going to want to emphasize for later the appearance of Aharon, bonov, and kol Yisrael. Of course, in this pasuk, you notice the expression ze hadavar, which is what is associated with our Gemara. And the next pasuk, pasuk Gimel, says ish ish mi beis Yisrael asher yishchat shor o kesev oyeiz b'machane b'mach, anyone who slaughters these animals that were sanctified as korbanos o asher yishchat michutz l'machane. The reason that we quoted this pasuk is to show that it's talking about the issue of shechitas chutz. Let's turn back to the Gemara. Once we've mentioned that Zeh HaDovar is a limiting device, we'd like to know, Ela Me'ata, Zeh HaDovar Deshchutei Chutz, Hochi Nami, Delo Yehei Noi Gela Bador Zeh? Are you going to tell me that just like you said in the with regard to the issue of Bas Yereshes Nachla, that she's expected to marry into her father's tribe, and that's a one-generational halacha, are you going to tell me that the Isser of Shechitas Chutz applies only to one generation? That's absolutely not true. It's a halacha that applies for all generations. Someone says, Shiny Hasam, the case of Shechitas Chutz is different. Tichtiv L'doroisam. It says specifically by Shechitas Chutz for future generations. The Gemara asks, notice we have the house marking again, as we indicated earlier in our structural note, that structural note featuring the geometric form which shows a series. Once again, we have Zeh HaDovar and another topic, the topic of Haforas Nedarim. So the Gemara asks, Zeh HaDovar, the Roshei Hamatos. Roshei Hamatos is an expression referring to the Parsha of Nedarim, because Parshas Matos in Sefer Bamidbar opens up with the topic of Nedarim. So the expression Zeh HaDovar in the Torah, in Parshas Nedarim, the Parsha dealing with voiding vows that were made, Hachi Nami, are you going to tell me also Delo Yehei Noi Yegelo B'dor Zeh, that it is a one generational halacha? We know that's not the case. The laws that are featured in that Parsha apply for all generations. Omar Lei, Hahu, so the answer is as follows, that Hahu, meaning the Parsha of Haforas Nedarim, that it's Noheg for generations, Yolif Zeh Zeh Mehosam, is learned through a Gezero Shava from the Parsha of Shechutei Chutz. Namely, just like Shechutei Chutz, the Isser of sacrificing outside the Mishkan or Beis HaMikdash is an Isser for generations, so too the Parsha of Haforas Nedarim, avoiding vows, is for all generations. That's learned through the Gzero Shova method, through the comparison of common expressions. The Gemara asks, Hai Nami, the Parsha of Hasovas Nachla, where a girl is the inheritor of properties, Leilof Zeh Zeh Mehasam, why not use the same Gezerah Shava and say that it will be a generational halacha as well, namely something that will apply for future generations? Namely, we saw that the Gezerah Shava between Haforas Nedarim and Shechutei Chutz enabled us to say Haforas Nedarim is for future generations. Let's say the same thing regarding Bas Yoreshes Nachla. So the Gemara responds, Hai Mai, how can you compare these topics? Bishlama Hasam Itzterich L'Gezero Shava. In the case of Haforas Nedarim being learned from Shechutei Chutz, I need that Gezero Shava for additional purposes that will be explained later. Hocha. In the case of Hasovas Nachla, the issue of the girl who is the heiress of property, Lemai Itzterich. If the Torah is thinking to teach this for future generations, why would it be necessary to use the expression Zeh Hadover with that intent? Lishtoik Kro Minei. Let the Pasuk have remained silent, namely, not written Zeh, in the case of Hasovas Nachlo, Ve'ano Yodano Diladorosu, and I on my own would have known that it's a halacha for future generations, just like all other mitzvahs are for future generations. Therefore, why did the Torah write, in the case of Hasovas Nachlo, Zeh Hadavar, to tell me what we said before, that the mitzvah of Hasovas Nachlo, where the prohibition of the girl marrying another into another tribe, is one generational. Zeh hadover, meaning limiting. A moment ago, we said that the Gezeirah Shavah between the Parsha of Haforas Nedarim and Shlut Eichutz was necessary for several purposes. We'll say we had a grander agenda when referring to the Gezeirah Shavah there. The Gemara will deal with that now. What we've included in the space between the Gemara and the Tosfos, you see arrows. One is here, when the Gemara now asks, my Gezeirah Shavah, and you find a parallel arrow just two lines up, where the Gemara mentioned, I need the Gezeirah Shavah over there. So we'll now know which Gezeirah Shavah we're referring to. The one between Haforas Nedarim and Shchut Echutz. Let's glance at our topic heading in the outside margin. The Nosei. Gezeirah Shavah Bein Parshas Shchut Echutz LeParshas Haforas Nedarim. The term Zeh HaDavar appears in both Parshios. Melamedes. This is going to teach us the following two points. Number one. Shehaforas nedarim begimel hedyotos, that the voiding of vows can take place with three commoners. That a bezdin that sits, a court that sits in order to void a person's vows can be made up of three commoners, not necessarily people that are expert in dinim. The second point that will be derived from this Gezeirah Shavah is on the other side of the equation, namely on the Kodshim side of the equation. The issue of Shlut Echutz is a Kodshim topic, and we will learn Sheyesh She'ela Behekdish, that when one dedicates a korban, there is the option of reversing that dedication, reversing the Hekdish. What do we see from here? That we have two topics with a common expression found in both. It serves to teach a Gezeirah Shavah, which means we're going to learn topic one from topic two and topic two from topic one. Information found in one topic will be used to teach me, will be used in the second topic, and information in the second topic will be applied to the first. Let us now see how this operates through the Gemara. My Gezeirah Shavah, the Sanya. We present a Tanaic source, as you can see, a framed section. Ne'emar kan zeh hadavar. It says in the topic of Haforas Nedarim, that expression, v'ne'emar lahalon, in the case of Shchut Echutz, it says zeh hadavar. Ma lahalon, just like in the case of Shchut Echutz, the Torah said, and we saw this in the pasuk that was written in to the margin on Omid Aleph. It said over there, Aharon Uvonov V'chol Yisrael. Af Kan, so too we should understand. Af Kan meaning so too in Haforas Nedarim, we should understand Aharon Uvonov V'chol Yisrael. Of course, what this means, practically speaking, will be the job of the Gemara later. Uma kan, and just like in the case of Haforas Nedarim, Roshei Hamatois. Af Lahalon, so too, with regard to Shchutei Chutz, Roshei Hamatois. That's the Brisa, very hard to understand on its own, and that's why we have the Gemara to explain it. You'll notice the diamond shape appears. It's one of our geometric forms indicating something of a repetitive nature, series form. What's going to happen in our Gemara here is the Gemara will quote from this Brisa two times. And that's what we've done with the Omar, Mar, and diamond marking, to show at what point the Gemara will be quoting the Brisa and finally explaining the points. Omar Mar. This is a quote from above. Ma lahalon Aaron uvonav, just like in the case of Shchutei Chutz, the Pasuk says, Aaron uvonav v'chol Yisrael. Afkan, in the case of Haforas Nadorim, Aaron uvonav v'chol Yisrael. L'may hilchasa. What am I to learn from this as regards Haforas Nadorim? Omar Rav Acha Bar Yankiv Loimar, this teaches us. In other words, the expression of Aaron Uvono V'chol Yisrael teaches me Shehaforas Nedorim B'shloisha Hedyotis, that the absolving of vows, the voiding of vows, can be performed in the presence of three commoners. The expression V'chol Yisrael conveys that point. The Rashbam, as you can see, we have an asterisk over here. This tells us to glance at the Rashbam on the first wide line, where you see a parallel asterisk. The Rashbam there says, Avol l'mishri isur neder, lo sagi b'pochos mishloisha. With regard to absolving vows, unlike Shitas Shmuel, when it comes to financial matters, one is allowed to have two in judgment. With regard to Haforas Nedorim, everyone agrees you have to have no less than three. Ulahachi ahani gzeirah shava, ki ilu nichtav b'nedorim aroin uvonov v'chol Yisrael. The gzeirah shava is effective in making it as if the expression Aron Uvonav V'chol Yisrael appeared in the topic of Haforas Nedorim. It's there. It's not written there. It's written in the topic of Shchutei Chutz. But we have a common expression Zeh HaDovor in Shchutei Chutz as well as in Haforas Nedorim. As a result of that common expression, we're able to import the term Aron Uvonav V'chol Yisrael to Nedorim as well. Loimar loch, to teach us, Sheshkulin kol Yisrael lahatir nedorim v'afilu hedyotos ki'aron uvonav, that all of Yisrael, which includes even commoners, are equal to Aaron uvonav. The Tosfos at the top in Dibur Hamasel Shehaforas Nedorim b'shlosh hedyotos presents the opinions of the Rivom and the Ri. From where do we know three are necessary? The purpose of this Gemara would be to emphasize the point of commoners. And that's what I learned from the expression Kol Yisrael, which technically speaking appeared in the topic of Shchutei Chutz. But as we said before, we're able to import that by through the method of Gzeirah Shava to the topic of Haforas Nedorim, to learn this point. You've noticed that there's a double underline under the expression Shaforas Nedorim B'Shlosh Hedyotos. We're going to notice this expression double underlined later, and that's why we have it marked thusly. The double underline in the marking system serves the same role as all the other geometric forms, to show some type of reappearance, series, or repetition. The Gemara asks, how can you tell me that commoners are sufficient for absolving vows? For Harashe Hamatos Ksiv Bei, in the Parsha of Nedarim, when you open up the Chumash and you open up to the beginning of Parshas Matos, it says Roshe Hamatos, which sounds like we're talking about important individuals, people that are expert. The Gemara answers, Kida Omar Rav Chisda Omar Rav Yochanan, B'yochid Mumche. The purpose of mentioning experts in the topic of absolving vows is to teach me another halacha, that if you're dealing with an expert, it's sufficient to have one person. That is a teaching that Rav Chisda, in the name of Rav Yochanan, taught elsewhere. Hachinami, so too over here, will use his teaching of Yochid Mumche, Hachinami B'Yochid Mumche, to explain why Roshei Hamatos is used in this Parsha of Haforas Nedarim. You might ask, so why does it appear in the plural, Roshei Hamatos? The answer to that is, it's a reference to the general population of experts. When you draw from the population of experts, it's sufficient to have one for the absolving of a vow. Omar Mar. Once again, you see the diamond form. As we saw above, these are quotes from the source above. In order to facilitate finding from where this comes from, this quote, we provided also an asterisk that we wrote in the space between the Gemara and the Tosfos text. Uma kan Roshei Hamatos, and just like in the Parsha of Nedarim, you have the expression heads of tribes. Af v'halon, in the case of Shchutei Chutz, Parsha of Kochim, Roshei Hamatos. L'mai hilchasa, the Gemara asks, what is the Parsha of Haforos Nedarim teaching me to the Parsha of Kochim? What does one have to do with the other? Omrav Sheshes Lomar, it teaches me. Sheesh She'ela Behektish. She'ela is the term we can refer to, referring to absolving of or reversal of someone who had sanctified something. He can go to a chacham, can go to a mumche, a sage, and express his regrets regarding his having sanctified something. And through some discussion, the mumche, the sage, can reverse his having sanctified something. In fact, the process of heter nedarim that's accomplished through a chacham serves to oker hadovar lemafreya. It's so powerful that the halacha that's being taught here states that imagine someone violated shritas chutz. He took a korban and slaughtered it outside the Beis HaMikdash. A person can approach a chacham and say, you know, I was makdish such and such an animal. I sanctified something. And I'm dissatisfied with what I did in initially sanctifying it. I regret it. Or he's poseach Pesach. Without getting into the extensive details of Hatoras Nedarim, he can present his case to the Chacham, and the Chacham can say, Mutar Lach. He can say that the Hektish is no longer applicable, and in effect uproot the sanctification from the very source, and as a result of that, the slaughtering of that animal outside the Beis HaMikdash was in effect the slaughtering of a non-holy animal, because the Hektish was uprooted, was called what we call in Hebrew Okir Hadover LeMafreya. The Rashbam points this out in the wide section, toward the beginning of the wide section, you notice a dashed underlined part, And we can read from the beginning of the line where the dashed underline appears, from the fifth line and the wide lines. She'im shochat kotshem b'chutz, finis chayev korz. If a person had slaughtered a korban outside the Beis HaMikdash and as a result of that became guilty of korez punishment, v'achaka cholach eitzel chochom lahatir lo hekdesho, u'motzo lo pesach shel charoto. And this individual went to a chochom, and as a result of their discussion, the chacham found grounds for absolving him. The okar es ahegdish meikoro, and uprooted the sanctification from its very source. The avdei kehegdish tos, and declared that his sanctification was done under mistaken pretenses. Igloi milsul mafreya de lohavi hegdish meolam upoter mikores. It becomes retroactively clear to us that what he had slaughtered outside was in fact a non-sanctified creature, and hence no longer guilty of the Koreis punishment. So what we just saw was the fulfillment of the role of the Gzeirah Shavah, teaching me a halacha from the Parsha of Nedarim to the Parsha of Kodshim, to the parsha involving korbanos. The Gemara asks, "Ula Beis Shammai diamri ein she'elo behegdish." According to Beis Shammai, that says that the concept of absolving vows, rescinding sanctifications, does not work. Namely, ein she'elo behegdish. You cannot rescind that which was sanctified, skipping the two lines that are in brackets. Hi zev zev my avdilei. What is Beis Shammai going to do with the expressions of ze hadovar that appeared in these two distinct parshios? By telling us. That there's no Sheila Behegdish, he's in effect saying there is no Gezeiro Shava from the Parsha of the Dorim to Hegdish. If there's no Gezeiro Shava, so what is the role of these psukim to begin with? Before we go any further, let us glance at the outside margin, the Nosei, the topic heading. Lefi Beit Shammai, the Sovrim, She'ein Sheila Behegdish, according to Beit Shammai that holds there is no rescinding of sanctification, who memela ein lohem gezeira shava shel ze hadavar bein shute chutz vaforas nadarim, and they are in effect telling us that we don't learn the gezeira shava of ze hadavar between the topics of shute chutz and haforas nadarim. Ma melameid ze hadavar shel shute chutz v'shel haforas nadarim. So what are these psukim going to be teaching us? We skipped a section to make the reading easier, and I hope that you saw how we did that. Let us read the Gemara again, including the bracketed section. Within the bracketed section is simply the source in which you see Beis Shammai stating their opinion that Hegdish done under mistaken circumstances is binding. As a result of saying that it's binding, you're in effect telling me it can't be rescinded. The Gemara, again, Ula Beis Shammai di Amri, Ein She'elo Behegdish, according to Beis Shammai that holds that one cannot turn to a Chacham to have his sanctification absolved. Disnan, Beis Shammai Omrim, Hegdish Tos Hegdish. Beis Shammai holding the opinion that Hegdish, that sanctification done under mistaken circumstances, is nevertheless binding. Ula Beis Shammai Omrim, Eino Hegdish. Beis Hillel disagrees. They hold that if one has sanctified something under mistaken pretenses, it's not binding. We're here to focus on Beis Shammai, and hence we've dashed underlined Beis Shammai. That's the focus. He's the focus of our discussion now. Hi, Zev Zev, my Avdilei. What is Beis Shammai going to do with these psukim, the Zeh Hadovar that you find by Haforas Nadarim, and the Zeh HaDavar that you find by Shkutei Chutz? The Rashbam explains what we said already, but let's take a look all the same to see his commentary in the wide section. Try to find the double asterisk. Hi, ze, my avdile, ze de shute chutz, veze de roshe hamatos. The expression ze that you find in the topic of shute chutz and that of the roshe matos is a reference to haforas nedarim, my darshi behu. What are they going to learn from it? The kivan de les lehu sheilo behektish, since they, Beishamai, do not hold from rescinding sanctification, less lehu gzeiro shava de zezeh klal. They're in effect announcing to us that they don't hold from the connection of the parshas through the gzeiro shava method of learning. The afilu the meilaf nedorim mishute chutz la'aron ubonav l'chol Yisrael. And when we say they don't hold from the gzeiro shava, it's a total disavowal of the gzeiro shava, namely, even to learn that the parsha of Haforas Nedarim from Shute Chutz, which the other opinion held, I learn Nedarim from Shute Chutz to learn the concept of Kol Yisrael, which is stated by Shute Chutz. I transfer that over to Haforas Nedarim and come to the conclusion that even commoners are suitable for absolving Nedarim, absolving vows. Why is it that they do not learn from there, namely from Shute Chutz to Nedarim? The Ein Gezeira Shava L'Mechsa. You can't have a Gezeira Shava that works only in half, namely in one direction. If that be the case, Ulekamon Bo'i Lehu Hediotus Mino Lehu. Later the Gemara will ask, if that be the case, so how does Beis Shammai know that commoners can absolve vows? So let us see in the Gemara what Beis Shammai do with these psukim. After asking the question, which we'll read again, Hai ze veze mai avdile, the Gemara answers, ze hadover deshute chutz, mi boyole, the limiting expression of ze hadover that you find by shute chutz, Beis Shammai needs to teach the following halacha. Al hashoychet hu chaya ve'eno chaya v'al hamolek. Namely, the prohibition of slaughtering outside the Beis HaMikdash is limited to slaughtering an animal that needs shechita, that needs slaughtering with a knife. However, if one were to take a bird offering, the method of slaughter of a bird offering, an ola sa'of, a chata sa'of, is called malika. Malika, or the molek, he's the one that does it. That's a method where the simonim, or the organs of the neck, namely the esophagus or trachea, which need to be severed, are severed through his fingernail, through his that process being called malika. If that were done outside the Beis HaMikdash, there would be no iser of chutz, of malikas chutz, if you will, or shute chutz. How do I know that? Well, so once again, because the expression ze hadover is a limiting expression. It limits me to shechita, slaughtering by knife, is guilty when done outside, but malika, which is the process done to birds, if that process is done to a sanctified bird outside the Beis HaMikdash, he's not guilty. Ze hadover de roshe hamatois. What does Beis Shammai do with the expression ze hadover in the case of Haforas Nedarim? Bear in mind, we're not learning Gzeira Shava, we're not learning one topic from the other, so we're taking the expression and trying to learn it locally. What does he do with Zeh HaDover in the case of Haforas Nedarim? Miboyale, he needs it for the following halacha. L'chochom matir, vein baal matir. Baal mefer, v'ein chochom mefer. When a chacham absolves a person of a neder, of a vow, he uses certain terminology. He'll say, mutar lach. That terminology is specifically for a chacham to use, and not for a husband to use when he's absolving his wife from her vows. When a husband absolves his wife from her vows, or a father with regard to his daughter. In this case, the Gemara is citing the example of a Baal, a husband, when he absolves her, his wife, from her vows, he uses a different expression. The expression is mufar lach. So that's what the Gemara is teaching, and that's what Beis Shammai learns from Zeh HaDavar being a limiting expression, an expression indicating something specific. A Chacham has his specific terminology to use in absolving vows, as well as a husband has his specific terminology, and one cannot use the other's terms. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.